Welcome to the Liberty NZ Report. My name's Grant Edwards. Well, today I want to talk about what's happening in the newspapers around New Zealand. I want to look at the agricultural papers, one in particular, Farmers Weekly, that has become a propaganda arm of this left-wing globalist government. The Whangarei leader, notice the pronunciation, the Whangarei leader, here we are on the front page. This woman has a quarter of the page. Labour, Emily Henderson, MP for Whangarei. All that money is taxpayer money, and Labour are just wasting our money. They're a lame duck, finished government. They need to chuck the towel in completely. Governor General needs to basically sack the government and dissolve the parliament and call for new elections as soon as possible. But here we are with Emily. She's a Labour MP. More transport funding for Whangarei. That's the heading. The government transport choices package has funded Whangarei District Council $14 million for substantial transport projects. Oh, really? We've got potholes all over this part of Northern, where I am. There's potholes everywhere. It's dangerous. Cars are being wrecked. Rims are being buckled. Wheels are being completely ruined. Steering ruined. And here we are. The government is boasting transport choices, package funding Whangarei District Council $14 million. And then the word sustainable transport projects. Now that word sustainable, so they're not giving you any money for what's needed, which is roading. The roads are going to pop because the globalists don't want, and I'd be very careful of Chris Luxon as well. Don't think he's going to do anything different from what Jacinda was doing. Just because she had a nervous breakdown, you know, doesn't mean to say that the globalists aren't on full steam ahead to completely stuff the economy in New Zealand. We're the guinea pig country, don't forget. So this is what it is made up of. The government transport choices package has funded Whangarei District Council $40 million for sustainable transport projects. Okay, what are we getting then? Okay, anything to do with the roads itself? No. The CBD, bike and public transport facilities. Bike and public. So that'll be those little purple things, those little scooters. And there might be a little bit going to buses, but it's going to be those bike lanes. Remember, the globalists don't want you driving around in your car. They don't want you living in the country or even the suburbs. Even the suburbs are going to be out. They're going to have you living in high density, high rise buildings in the major cities, walking, not even riding a bike is going to be expensive, I'll tell you. And you can forget electric cars. It's going to be out. Only the elite can afford electric cars. But why would they bother when they will be getting cash rebates? Perhaps not cash because we won't be using cash, but they'll be getting massive incentives for their diesel, and we won't be able to afford to put diesel in our car. So these are some of the other things. So $3.3 million is going to be spent, out of the $14 million, that is, $3.3 million is going to be spent on the bike and public transport facilities. And then Carmo Shared Path Connections, $4.6 million. So just north of Whangarei is a place called Carmo, and so Shared Path connection, so that means sharing it with bikes. It's not going to be, you know, so they're reducing the roading for cars and trucks and increasing bikes and walking, because they don't want you driving in your car. That's going to be a thing of the past. These are all part of the reforms, reforming us. Why do we need reforming? There's nothing wrong with New Zealand the way it was until Labour took over and almost single-handedly one woman, the mental patient from Matamata, has almost single-handedly destroyed our economy in 5 years. Thank goodness she had a nervous breakdown. $4.6 million for Carmo Shared Path Connections. Then there's the Rarimu Shared Path Connections. It's another one. 6.1. So nothing is going to transport funding for Whangarei, even though the heading says more transport funding for Whangarei. No, it's rubbish. That's a lie. It's more funding to pay for globalist new world order cycleways and getting people out of cars and walking. You won't even be allowed a car, I'm telling you now. So if you don't fight this now, You won't even be allowed to go for a drive in your car. If you want to go more than 15 minutes away, you'll have to use public transport. You won't be driving to work in your car. This is the luxury that we could only afford this century, for the beginning of the century and most of last century. So that's this woman. And we'll get on to Farmers Weekly in a minute. We'll get on to them. So let's just open up the page and just open up this. This is Whangarei Leader. Now, who runs this thing? This will be some... I can't remember. I've been out of publishing too long. I was a publisher for 24 years, from the 1990s, right up, early 1990s, right up until 2005. And let's have a look. I'm just going through this thing here. Wherever I look, appeal brings fishing ban. Okay, so fishing ban, right. So they're banning fishing. There's no logical reason for banning fishing. That's all just getting you used to shortages and licensing. Soon they will be licensing just recreational fishermen who want to go for a fish out in the harbour or on the coast, because when the New World Order kicks off, they want you to be completely cashless. You won't be able to go out and just catch a fish. You'll have to go and buy a fish, because the licensing will be too expensive for you. And so they've got gun licensing, and that's so you can't shoot your own game and feed your family. There'll be fishing licenses coming in, and all this stuff, this propaganda about banning fishing in some northern areas, that's all Agenda 21. You've got to wake up, folks. That's what it is. It's Agenda 21, getting you used to the idea of not being able to go out for a fish. And even when COVID came on, remember, they wouldn't let you go fishing? Wouldn't let you go for a fish, and they had this lame duck excuse that, you know, because of COVID, they didn't want to have to go out looking for you. It was absolute nonsense. One guy got a visit from the police for fishing in his canoe just out from his garden. Tamatarau in Whangarei. They say we're looking through the paper. We're up to page 2, page 3. So that's getting you used to appeals against the Northern Regional Council, lack of fishing prohibition within the proposed regional plan. So this regional plan is basically an environmental court. It's Agenda 21. Agenda 21. All these things that are happening with the councils are Agenda 21. Camping, public sites. You should be allowed to camp wherever you like. We have the freedom in New Zealand to move around. Anyone that's lawfully in New Zealand, according to the Bill of Rights, has got the right to go where you like. And it's a public... And if it's public, it belongs to the public, not to the local council or the recreational council, where you should be able to just camp on the side of the road if you want to. Why not? We used to do that. All through the South Island, that's what we did. When we were kids, we would go just in the car and we'd pitch a tent, and sometimes just a little fly. We'd put a fly up and we'd go and have a trout fish and catch a fish and have a lovely meal and a lovely night's sleep out in the open. Driver behaviour must change. What's this all about? Northern roading policing rescue helicopter pleads with Northern motorist to drastically change their driving habits. Well, we need to get the roads fixed up because they're not safe. And I'm telling you now, from Whangarei North, you are not safe to go over 80 kilometres per hour. And they're doing that on purpose. The roads are shocking. They've been shocking for years, but since COVID, they're not being fixed up. And the council can refute that all they like. The fact is, We know that our roads aren't being looked after, because that's part of the plan. Part of the Agenda 21 is to have people not living in cities. Not living in country, but living in the cities. And here we are, Kiwi soldiers training Ukrainians in the UK. Oh, here we go. The New Zealand Army 2nd Lieutenant Nathaniel Chisnell was struck by the return of trench warfare training and Ukrainians' desire to defend their homeland. Yeah, so that's all propaganda, isn't it? What it is NATO, including New Zealand and Australia and the US and the UK, are attacking Russia, and the war in Ukraine is a proxy war of NATO being the aggressors against Russia. And the mainstream media, if you want to know the truth, you're not going to find it on mainstream media. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. So then we turn over the page. Competition winners turn out to be a class act. Okay, local thing. Hopu, tea, something or other. Some Maori words I can't pronounce. Even though I got I got the top mark for Maori pronunciation when I was at Radio New Zealand. But those days are over. Wild or mild Kiwis gets ready to get active. Okay, a lot of people, of course, can't be active because that vaccine has beggared them up and they're not able to do what they want to do. ABC for motorcycle safety. All right, turning over the page. Yes, it's not too globalisty, not too Agenda 21 this week. But usually when I open this paper, it's just full of sustainability, global warming, fanning the embers of the old debate. What's this one here? Strong contender for New Zealand this year's Tony Makers is safely fear of the hundreds of neighbours. What's this one about? Gosh, you should be able to tell what it's about reading the first paragraph. I still don't know what it's about. Oh, yeah, they want to ban fireworks. Oh, yes, okay. Oh, well, they want to get rid of that because the Catholics want to get rid of fireworks because it reminds them of the gunpowder plot where they tried to overthrow England. But remember the 5th of November. We'll keep it going, thank you very much, because we are Protestants. We protest the pretensions of the Roman Catholic system of religion. Right, now, the one I really want to talk about is the Farmers Weekly. Lamb sales stand up to global gloom. Global. Now, notice that word. Notice the use of the word global. Getting you used to the idea that globalism is a good thing. Globalization is not a good thing. It's a very bad thing for New Zealanders. It's a very bad thing for everybody in the world. We don't need to be involved in globalization to have a healthy international trade. So here we go. So it's clear to me when I open page 2 that the government has earmarked certain wealthy farmers, the millionaire farmers and possibly even the billionaire farmers around New Zealand, Richard and Susie Redmayne of Tunnel Hill Horizons. And then here we go. There's a lovely picture of Richard and Susie, and they own a rather large holding. And his great-grandfather, Wilfred Perry, bought Tunnel Hill in 1936, and it had been passed down through the generations until Richard and his wife Susie took over in 1993. 33 years on, they run it with their children Sam and Ruby, but they have sheep, beef, maize, forestry, and I'll be having a bit more forestry too because it's more lucrative because of the government nonsense to plant pine trees, which wreck the soil, than it is to run sheep, which would be better off because they feed the country and we can export those. So here they are, the globalists attacking the farmers, and the farmers are falling for this nonsense. They should just say, get stuffed. We're not having a bar of your nonsense. We're not having a bar of your global warming rubbish. You know, sheep and beef, maize, forestry, they have 950 hectares on the property. That's quite a bit. That's like 2,500 acres or 3,000. Yes, quite a bit. So Richard and Susie, first heading says, Tunnel Hill is not only beautiful, it's carbon negative. And then they got carbon negative, you see. So they're getting us used to the whole idea of being, you know, all the wealthy farmers, the big sheep station owners, the big hill country holdings, they are carbon negative. They are culling they're reducing stock units in favor of pine trees, and they call it regenerative farming, but it's not regenerative farming at all. They're just planting pine trees, which is a backward step for this country. They're putting really good, because of the money that they're being offered, these carbon credits, and I believe that these top farming, these big stations will be given backhanders by the government too. I haven't been able to prove that, but it doesn't make sense to me that they would do that. So they don't do these stupid things. Like, it's a stupid thing to do, to plant pine trees. I mean, if you're going to plant natives, that would be better. But natives don't qualify. It's pine trees. So I suppose you need timber. Once they've beggared the economy and they have to build back better, they have to rebuild the build back better thing with the WEF at the helm. I suppose they need to have a few pine trees. Farming systems have been tailored to match soil type. Very good. Tunnel Hill is at the heart of this family. Everything they do, yes, as well as running profitable business, yes, and even more profitable now that you're able to plant pine trees and get tax rebates for it, which is absolutely crazy. And then we head over the page here, and we've got another family, Philip and Jocelyn Everest, and Paul Everest and Sarah Heyman. So Sarah's obviously married Paul, and that's good. So she's involved in the Everest family, and they're on a farm in Flemington, Canterbury, and a 30-year journey achieves a lifelong goal. Now, if we read down through here, you will see that there will be something to do with, usually it's got something to do with sustainability, with global warming, carbon credits, milking. Very surprised that I haven't read anything there yet to do with that. So they've won an award, that's good. Congratulations to our 2022 regional supreme winners. And then, of course, the balance awards, that was won by Richard and Susie, and they're right into reducing stock numbers. But the big heading of the day on this Farmers Weekly would be not lamb sales, it was page 7. Palmu Farm. It's actually not very bold on the front page. Palmu Farms to drop 6,000 deer and breeding cows in favour of regenerative planting. Page 7. Well, let's go to page 7 and just have a look and see what this regenerative... Because I would have thought regenerative would have been, you know, something to... would have been something pretty good, not just planting pine trees, but here it is. Palmu unveils plans to thin Otago herds. Palmu will reduce by 6,000 stock units, the livestock run on 2 Otago farms in the next 7 years, replacing them with up to 3,000 hectares of forestry, that'll be pine trees, and regenerative vegetation. Now, what's that going to be? What's that going to be? It'll be what they don't say how much regenerative vegetation, because there'll be stuff all, that's why. It'll all be pine trees because they'll be after the carbon credits. And this is in order to meet climate change and environmental regulations. And climate change is bogus. Any decent scientist that's not being given a handout, given money to say that they believe in climate change, knows it's all a bumpkin, it's all a load of baloney. Deer and breeding cows will carry the brunt of the reduction from 78,000 stock units to 72,000 stock units from 2020 on Palmu. By 2020, what are they talking about? That must be a mistake because we're at 2023 already. Thorncroft and Waipuru stations. This was a spokesman for Palmu, formerly Landcorp. So Palmu are now Landcorp are now Palmu. They said that breeding ewes will be increased, and there will be a greater emphasis on finishing stock. Nationally, Palmu have 8,500 hectares of forestry, and plans to plant more than 1,000 hectares and 2,000 hectares of new forestry a year from 2021 to 2029. We will utilise marginal land. Oh, well, that's good that they're doing that. Marginal land, but you know, you could run sheep in marginal land that is prone to erosion. Okay, that's good. So, but instead of planting pine trees, why don't you plant something that's really good if you want to make a forest out of it? You know, real regenerative. You wouldn't just put pine trees on it, because in 20 years' time, 20, 25 years' time, you're going to chop it all down, and it's just going to look like an eyesore, isn't it? And then getting anything else to grow on it, it's going to be just about impossible. It's going to look hideous. So, prone to erosion, and there will be this will generate a return without impacting the profitability of the farm, and we can sequester carbon credits under the emissions trading scheme. Yes, which is a load of rubbish. And all they're doing is getting farmers to reduce their stock numbers, because the globalists don't want local farmers. They don't want little family farms and big family farms in New Zealand to be the landholders. If farmers don't wake up, they're going to go down, they're going to go under, they're going to go broke. And that's what the government want. And they won't be farming. The farms will be bought up by major corporations. And the major corporations will be, you know, like in the US, I've spoken about this before, Bill Gates owns, he's the largest farmer in America now. He's buying up farmland like it's going crazy. like it's going out of fashion. 270,000 acres, doesn't seem a lot really, but I suppose it is. 19 states of America, he owns land in. And my bet is that he'll be doing terrariums. Different types of terrariums. They won't be just normal greenhouses or, you know, glass houses. They'll be pressurized, and I believe that even stock will be living in those. Those ones, there'll be like a hyperbaric chamber that stock will be living in for a major part of the day, so it acts as a nutrient for the animals, very healing, with more oxygen going into the bloodstream. And it's very, very good. A lot of sports people have hyperbaric chambers. So I would say that the farmers, well, these wealthy farmers, only they'd be able to afford it. They won't be able to farm their farms out in the open. They'll have to be in these giant terrariums. For plants, that'll be a different system. That will be probably not pressurized, but they'll be pumping CO2, which is what they're trying to get us to reduce with all this carbon credit nonsense, because anyone with any brains knows that carbon actually increases, trees rely on carbon, it's a nutrient. So I just can't believe the stupidity of farmers in this country going along with it. So their aim is to destroy you. You need to wake up and realize that that's what they're going to do. So PAMU, they will be probably being given a major handout. There's no doubt about it. This is just all this propaganda to do with farming, and they seem to be just like earmarking. And Heather Mary Penny just sent me a message before, because I mentioned it this about half an hour ago to her, and she has come back to me, and she said, "I think all the mainstream media is paid to only print government BS. The new emissions taxes are very high unless you can prove a reduction in is causing many farmers to reduce stock numbers. Then one of the few ways to increase your resultant lower income is to plant pines and reap the ridiculous high carbon credits income. Very smart thinking by the globalists. No doubt some carefully chosen high profile farmers will have been groomed, bribed, paid off, etc. to publicly promote this course of action. Indoctrination, propaganda and mass hypnosis suggestion are the weapons being employed in our current ongoing war. I hope you are well. Kind regards, Heather Mary Penny." Yep, she's right on the button. And there we go. So there we go. So as we go through the Farmers Weekly, it's just absolutely full of the global warming. Hottest year on record for New Zealand. It's the wettest year on record, I think you'll find. And it certainly hasn't been that hot until the last few days. So I think they're paying the meteorologists as well. Oh dear. So as I go through that, this has obviously been given a lot of money, this magazine, this weekly newspaper, by the government to print bullshit. Climate shifts may send maize production south. What have we got here? Nelson Tech Company lands the perfect catch. Wet weather affects sowing. Climate shifting may send maize production south. Climate shifting. What a load of rubbish. Buckle up for another bumpy ride in 2023. Yes, because the government is orchestrating it. That's why. Gas prices must not threaten food production. Well, they certainly are going to, you dingbats, because you're going along. You should just say, you should never have said to the government, "Oh, well, we'll reduce." None of you farmers should. But, you know, I guess when there's money involved, when they give you money, can't you see that what they're doing long term, it's going to be you're actually cutting your own throats by getting involved in carbon credits, you silly farmers. But you know, you're looking at today's at profit today, but you're going to be in big trouble tomorrow. Economic gloom, voices for beef herd at climate climate congress. So it's all about climate change. So we had COVID is over, and now we're doing the climate change. Climate change. Mutters as police take aim at firearm fee. So, well, the police, it's costing them a $2,000 to $2,500 per license now per application. That's because they've come up with these ridiculous laws, and so now they're going to put the price up from $150. It's going to probably go up for a 10-year renewal of $242. Oh, it's $242 up to $485, or even $725 compared with the current. Oh, it's $126. Oh no, we've got to fight that. We don't need a license anyway. The Bill of Rights 1688 says we've all got the right to be armed, unless we're Roman Catholics. So all those Roman Catholics better start protesting, become a Protestant. So there we go. Legislation like before poll. No, we're buggered. We really are. We're stuffed. All right, Grant Edwards signing off. Thank you. Bye now.